This is Matt Wells at UN News. Growing up with albinism was so difficult for Rob Darius Brown that he was tempted to take his own life. Now he's a rap star and activist who challenges discrimination to help others like him who face bullying and worse because their hair, eyes and skin lack colour. In an interview with UN News, Robin X, as he's known, tells Daniel Johnson how music helps him.
There's different forms of albinism, but the form of albinism that I have is ocular albinism, which means I lack pigmentation in the hair, skin, and eyes. It also causes nystagma in the eyes, which is a nerve problem that makes the eyes shake, and vision problems as well.
Now, you have talked a lot about the difficulties of growing up with albinism, being bullied particularly nastily at 9. In fact, you were attacked. You've called it a heartbreaking experience on a daily basis. Could you maybe explain what your personal experience has been?
I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood, a predominantly black school, and, you know, kids, they don't know the difference between being different and what's normal. So they had a very natural reaction to, what is that? Ew, you know what I mean? So it started off with the name calling. You call me White Boy, Casper, Powder, you name it. Started off with that, then it went to the pushing and the shoving and everything. The next thing you know, I'm getting punched and jumped in restrooms. The incident when I was 9 years old, I was walking to the park that day, and I barely remember that day at all, actually. I was walking to the park that day, and I was knocked unconscious with a baseball bat by some middle school boys. So,
that's just unbelievable, really, at 9, with a baseball bat. And you talk about your mother as well. A lot, the fact that she was a great support to you. How has she supported you through this?
Well, it's been a very hard situation for her, especially. I'm her son, I'm her baby, and so to see me going through all this pain, this, even when there were times where she didn't know, but she could just see it, the depression, the heartache, the loneliness, and it was hard for her to deal with it. She was a single mother raising 2 kids on her own, you know, and she was trying her best to make our life as good as it could possibly be while also trying to be there for us and work and put food on the table and cook meals. So it was a very difficult situation for her, but she overcame it and she helped me through a lot of it.
What did she say to you? How did she reassure you, comfort you?
She tried her best to let me know that I was loved. If I was not loved outside, I was loved at home, most definitely. That she cared for me and that I was special, that I would be somebody. She tried to constantly beat that into my head to make sure that I knew as long as I was at home, I would be loved and that eventually things would change.
Now, things did start to change when you went to secondary school. You developed this different character, this alter ego, if you like, Robin X. Robin X helped you express your feelings, what you were feeling inside, and the pain that you were having. Can you tell us a bit more about when exactly Robin X emerged?
Robin X came from, well, I'll start it here. I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man. I love him to death. Peter Parker, nerdy kid, bullied a lot, super smart, but a wimpy kid, nonetheless. When he was Spider-Man, he was smart, he was strong, he was witty. He could do anything he possibly wanted to, and that person helped Peter Parker grow as a man. And Robin X is the same thing here. Robin X helped me grow as a person. If people would only see me for the White Boy, I would give them something to look at. I would be stronger, I would be witty, I would be smarter. And it started there, really, that I started to grow confidence, to grow this self-assurance, because Robin X had to have it. Music played a big part of it. Music is my superpower, the way Spider-Man sticks to walls and has spidey senses and saves people. Music is the same thing for me.
Music was a big, big thing for you. Was it something that was in your house? Was it something you were surrounded by? Or was it something that you discovered?
My mother, she used to make music when she was younger. So she would always listen to music, different forms of music, and I kind of developed my own taste.
What did she listen to?
She would die from listening to Tupac, to Eminem, to Evanescence. She was like all around the place too, as far as musical influences. Tupac being one of her biggest influencers as far as music went. She said when I was like 2 years old, I used to sit in front of the TV when they would have like the jam box playing on the television. And I would sit there and listen to music all day and go until I would like go to sleep. And when I was growing up, I started listening to music like Eminem, White Kid, Bully the Neighborhood, trying to make a name for himself, underdog, outrelated. Then as I got older, I started to shift more to an alternative sound, Linkin Park, 3 Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, Korn, System of a Down, you name it, I was listening to it. And my musical influences really impact my music today. And it was an escape because I needed something to let me know, hey, it's not over. Hey, it's going to be okay. Hey, you're not alone in this. So music helped me do that as well.
When did you get the courage to start rapping in public?
Well, I started freestyling at the lunch table where kids would beat on the tables and I would hear them constantly rap and I go, okay, well, I could probably do that too, why not? So I started rapping to the beats and they stopped calling me the white boy. Now I was the white boy that could rap. So it was a lot cooler than just being the white boy. I started off freestyling a lot. My mom found out or heard me freestyling a couple times a day, and we had a home studio because of her making music, and she goes, hey Rob, do you want to come and freestyle over this track? And I'm like, sure, I guess. And we made the song called They Love Me, which I hate, by the way. I hate that song. It is the worst song.
Why do you hate that song?
The worst. Because I was like 11 or 12 when I made it, and I freestyled that entire song. It's just bad. It's so childish and kiddie.
You've got to start somewhere, though.
That's what I always hear. We couldn't have just skipped to this part. That would have been nice. Less cringe, I guess.
Well, I don't know. Your career is just starting. It's great to see that you've got such a big following already. And one thing I wanted to ask you as well was the fact that we're at the United Nations and you're in the room where countries meet to talk about human rights, including albinism. Do you feel that we are doing enough as the United Nations and the international community to help really people raise awareness about albinism?
Well, the UN is doing what it can. Everyone could do more. The UN could do more if possible, but right now they're doing what they can. And I think with albinism awareness, with just anything, discrimination in general, is just preaching love. We put it in our children. When we're born, we don't know hate. We know no fear. We know no discrimination. If you put two children together, they just see two children. We're all just people at the end of the day. And with albinism awareness, there is more that could be done, that could be talked about amongst everyone. Of course, in the U.S., it's not as severe as other countries where they're being slaughtered and killed because of the way that they look, because they are perceived to be magical creatures or demons or good luck charms. So people would take their body limbs and wear them as ornaments or put them in a potion of sorts, et cetera, because they're different. Bad enough that they already have to face problems with skin cancer. They don't live to see 30 or 35 with the situations that they have been put in. It's a very, very hard area to be in right now. It's an albino myself. To be where I am, I have to use this platform to do more, to reach more people. And if it's not just albinism, it's bullying, or it's racism, or it's discrimination of another sex party. I have to do what I can to preach love, to talk love, to get us together as a people. I don't want to separate anything. Nothing should be separated.
You really preach such a positive message, and I wonder how much it helps heal you and heal those wounds that you talk about. I mean, one of your songs, the lyrics are, I'm just going to quote here, you say that you've been humiliated, tortured and violated, embarrassed and incriminated, and then it goes on. You also talk about, if this is how love feels, then put it on the shelf. Do you still feel that way?
I've dealt with this pain for a very long time. These aren't wounds that just closed and disappear. They're scars, battle scars, in fact. Bully wounds, if you will. Dealing with this pain helped me be stronger, and it It motivated me to touch other people in these situations, to help them, the people that are sitting at home, that feel that they are alone, that feel like no one understands them, that feel like they have no place to run. That pain let me know that I never want anyone to ever feel that again. But I'm thankful for the wounds, I'm thankful for the pain, because without that past, without that pain, without that struggle, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be standing before you as the man you know now.
And without meaning to be flippant in any way at all, another difficult question for you. It's about your mum. Does she like your music?
She does. She's proud. She's one of my biggest critics, actually.
Okay. What does she say?
If things don't meet her standards of me as a person, she always wants me to grow as an artist and be who I am. But if things don't meet her standards as far as me, because she's like, I know you could do better. I know you could do this. I know you could do that better than this. She'll stomp the record. She's like, you recorded that? That's not my son. You sure you want to keep that? I got a trash can right here for it. It's got its name on it. She's very harsh at it, but it's with love, and I appreciate it. And when I'm doing great things, she's my biggest cheerleader, always rooting. I'm sure she's pretty proud now.